just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, I've got 101 reasons for you to be excited about today's podcast.
I love that. 101. Disney 101.
Disney 101 excitement.
And that's awesome.
Nothing more exciting than... It's more exciting than a box of puppies.
I don't know if that's a thing.
But...
Not the cute little puppies.
With my heavy-handed intro, you'll know that today we're talking about... 101 Dalmatians, which isn't just by chance, because it's a patch cast. That means it's the first podcast of the month of June
already. Can you imagine?
Goodness gracious. First podcast of the month of June, which means we're talking about the patch that came out this month.
I'm guessing that this one's inspired by 101 Dalmatians.
No, it's Beauty and the Beast. But we'll get to the patch towards the end. We want to talk a little bit about 101 Dalmatians, the movie. Now, this is one that you claim to have watched already. I want to see the receipts.
You and I have watched it, and I was able to point out like 14 or 15.
Oh, don't randomness. Yourself. You were able to pick out 5 random scenes that you might have seen at some point.
No, I do remember seeing the show. And
okay.
There was snow, and there was puppies, and there was tracks, and they had to brush with the brush. They had to hide all the tracks so they didn't find the dogs and things, right? These all happened in
these
the show.
These are things.
I know I saw it.
Okay. Well, I trust you. Well, it came out in 1961, so it's given you plenty of time to see it.
I do remember that.
But you remember 1961? How old are you?
How dare you?
No, actually, I wanted to talk a little bit about first Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
You've seen Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, we watched it.
Did we?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Sleeping Beauty was a massive undertaking. Artistically, it's regarded as one of the most beautiful Disney movies. It's very stylized and very meticulously put together.
Yeah.
Big deal. Turned out to be a box office disappointment.
Really?
Did not do as well as they needed it to do at the box office.
Oh, hey, didn't see that coming.
Right?
What a twist.
Call me M. Night Disney Shyamalan. So, this is something that crops up every now and then in Disney history as something that's quote-unquote shocking, but yet they've done it a million times. Mm-hmm. There was some talk after Sleeping Beauty of shutting down the animation department.
Oh.
Which
Ew.
Sounds unthinkable to those of us that grew up with Disney, especially in the new Renaissance period, which started in the 80s. It is unthinkable to think that they would... even talk about considering shutting down animation. However, they were doing it right before The Little Mermaid came out, too.
Oh, yeah.
They actually took all their animators out of the animation building and put them in trailers on a lot down the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of this is just from watching The Little Mermaid DVD.
What did they need the building for?
They wanted the talent to be more readily available, and they use it for offices and things, apparently. Which is offensive, because Walt built that specifically for animators. But anyway,
wow.
So after Sleeping Beauty is not doing great, they are moving into production on their next film, which is 101 Dalmatians.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of grumbling about shutting down animation.
Uh-huh.
So there are people that are trying to come up with ways to avoid shutting down animation. It's a big deal for a lot of people, right? This is the weirdest name, Ub Iwerks. Have I said the word name Ub Iwerks to you before?
I do not know of Ub.
His first name is UB, Ub.
Hmm.
Is that weird? It's a weird name. Anyway, of Iwerks brings up the concept that he's been working on a process of being able to take a artist line art. Uh-huh. So the artist will sit at their desk and physically draw the art.
Yeah.
And in the past, they would then send it down to the ink and paint section, where they had inkers that would go over the animator's lines and clean them up manually.
Sounds very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
And UB had been working on a system with which they could just use basically a copy machine to copy the artist artwork directly onto the production cells.
This newfangled technology this called the Xerox?
This new thing called Xerox. Ever heard of it? And it basically cut the cost of producing a film basically in half.
Really? So Xerox saved Disney?
Ish. Yeah.
Wow.
But the catch was that Walt hated it. He said it lost a lot of the finesse and beauty of their original work, which is totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And it lost a lot of the fantasy elements because artists, when you draw, if you've ever been to like the Art Academy or anything at any of the parks, you draw really loose most of the time. You're drawing grid lines and you're drawing structure, and then you're drawing a little bit darker the stuff that you want to keep. Right.
Well, and you've talked about this with your drawings, because you, when you draw by hand or when you draw on the computer,
yes,
how the computer drawings do lose a whole lot of texture that you would normally get out of drawing.
I'm much more loose with my drawings when I draw them by hand, because I'm so much more used to it. But on a computer, I lose a little bit of that fluidity.
Uh-huh.
So
I'd imagine the same would be true about Xerox back in the 80s.
Well, the problem was is that the artists were drawing by hand, and then the Xerox machine had no way of isolating which lines they wanted to keep, so it just kept all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch the 101 Dalmatians movie, it's a little scratchy. The lines aren't clean. The backgrounds are a little off, you know. It's,
and that's why, because they were it was their first experiment with Xerox,
yeah,
and whatnot.
And it was a foray into a new system that was hopefully going to save the company.
Yeah,
you know, and in essence, it probably did.
Yeah,
they did much better with 101 Dalmatians than they had done with Sleeping Beauty,
because they were able to make it on a budget, and then it right. made enough of a profit to justify.
Right, and unfortunately that means they, you know,
did it again.
Well, that too, but they also had to lay off a lot of inkers.
Oh, right.
Because that, you know, labor costs money.
That's, yeah.
And so they literally had to say, okay, well, we're not going to use this many inkers anymore. And, you know, Walt
sad.
Hated it, and I feel bad that he hated it so much, because he fought so hard to get his artist's work to look the absolute best it could.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, the Xerox thing was great, because then the artist's work was directly on screen. You saw everything that the artist did.
Yeah.
On the downside, it was real shaky.
Wow. So, and 101 Dalmatians is the first time they used it.
It is.
It's pretty great.
Well, and I think it's a great time to do it, because who wants to draw 101 Dalmatians with all the spots trying to keep... There were people whose job it was to make sure that the spots stayed in the right place.
Oh,
on
could you imagine?
Dog. The continuity alone would just kill me.
I didn't even think about that, because I was almost thinking the other way around, that having so many dogs would help maybe disguise some of the new work that they were trying to experiment with.
But right.
I think it would be amplified.
Yeah, I mean,
with having so many dogs.
Granted, you only had to draw the dog once, and no one had to ink over it and all that kind of stuff, but you still had all those animals, and all the spots on at least the lead dogs had to be the same places all the time.
Uh-huh.
So, that's a definite experiment in patience, I think. Just trying to keep all the spots in the right place.
Those inkers should be happy they lost their job.
Yeah.
Right at the right time.
They would be seeing spots for the rest of their life. So, what are your actual memories of watching 101 Dalmatians?
We covered it earlier, but it's, Cruella de Vil is obviously, like, antagonist and like the best one ever.
Iconic.
Right? She's so incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
With her bad self. Because she's awful. She's an awful person.
Yeah. She was such a big personality that I think I've said this before, but they wanted to bring her back for the movie The Rescuers with the mice.
Oh, yeah.
Originally, it was going to be Cruella as the villain in that one also.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought would have been interesting, but they decided not to. That would have been interesting.
And it is kind of an interesting concept because we don't have fur coats nearly as much as we did. But what's the difference between a mink and a dog coat? You know, because like the idea of a mink coat is so fabulous, but a dog is so disgusting.
Right.
Rightfully so. But you're like, well, it's an interesting thought experiment of sorts.
Well, and now that we're a little bit more conscious of like mink farms and things like that and how furs are made, we're not, as a society, we're not as a big a fan as fur.
Truly.
As we once were.
I still like leather because I like hamburgers and they go hand in hand, so.
Thanks, McDonald's, for my leather coat. But I, for the longest time, it took me years to figure out that the two lead dogs, Pongo and Perdita, did not have the 99 puppies that would round out the rest of 101 Dalmatians.
Okay.
So, as a kid, for some reason, it didn't connect with me that all the puppies weren't theirs.
I've never even thought about it.
So
I guess it's never connected with me either.
See, there you go. Pongo and Perdita have, I think it's 11 or 15.
Where'd the rest of the dogs come from?
That's the thing. I think they had 15 puppies. And then after Cruella, spoiler alert. Okay, just got to say this real quick. My brother had the audacity to text me and tell me that he had never seen Aladdin.
Wow.
And I said, you ain't never lied so much in your whole life because I remember watching it with you.
But he doesn't remember any of it?
Apparently not.
Wow.
Right. So I guess spoilers are...
So he's all mad at us about our last podcast? He's the only one...
He's salty. It's fine.
Just kidding. That's hilarious, though. I love hearing that.
Yeah. You're not the only one that hasn't seen movies. So spoilers in effect for 101 Dalmatians.
Dalmatians as well?
Yeah. After... Cruella's goons break in and steal the 15 puppies from Pongo and Perdita. They are taken to a big, giant, dilapidated mansion where all the other puppies that she's been purchasing or breeding are all in this puppy mansion that I just imagine must just stink so bad. Like, can you imagine house with 99 puppies running around in it?
Listen, I'm a realtor. I've seen it all.
Oh! So. That house is not going to get sold. I'll tell you what. And it took me rewatching it as an adult to go, oh, all these puppies aren't theirs. Because even as a kid, it didn't make sense. I'm like, how could she have 99 puppies all at the same time?
True.
She'd basically be like the size of a Volkswagen Beetle rolling around.
Oh, that's a lot of dogs.
Terrible. Crazy. So, fun fact, they're not all Pongo and Perdita's dogs.
Good to know. Do you know what I do love so much about 101 Dalmatians is that it takes place in wintertime, and she's driving crazy through the snow and everything, right?
Yes.
So I think this is going to be an exciting movie to watch during these 95 degree days.
Oh, perfect. Like,
this is when I love to watch Frozen, and now it's going to be when I love to watch 101 Dalmatians.
How cold and icy it is.
Exactly. This is how I get my winter paradise on.
So there were a couple controversies, though, with 101 Dalmatians. And
I can't imagine.
Ones that... Really? Because they're not ones that I had seen coming. So in the original script, when Roger and Anita, which are the human characters, get married.
Yeah.
In the movie, they show Pongo and Perdita, the dogs, outside of the chapel where they're having the wedding. So it kind of infers that they're all joining together, right? In the original script, they had an actual dog wedding where the dogs were actually going to be like saying
wed
vows.
As well.
And they decided they were going to change it because they thought more conservative people might be offended by dogs getting married.
Oh, I see.
So I thought that was an interesting...
That got cut from the show and rewritten, huh?
Yeah. It seemed to me like an interesting concern at
that
point.
That is interesting.
And then the other controversy that came up that I thought was interesting was there's a scene where the puppies have been running through the snow for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And they come across a barn full of cows. Yeah. And the cows feed the puppies.
Oh, right.
And for some reason, people found this shocking and horrifying. And I thought, well, we drink cow milk,
exactly.
So I'm not sure how that becomes offensive. Maybe it's just the imagery of a dog being breastfed by a cow or udder-fed by a cow. I don't know.
Yeah, when you're describing it even right now, I'm getting offended by it. And I've even seen it.
I am sorry if I've offended you all with my talk of cow udders.
You're welcome.
But you have to really give it up to Cruella as really the anchor for this whole show. When you talk about 101 Dalmatians, most people don't even think know the names of the dogs, but Everybody knows the name Cruella de Vil.
Oh, that's true.
Even not just because of the song, I guess, but...
Right.
Do you know the Cruella de Vil song?
I could not sing it for you.
Oh.
Much like...
You're usually so vocal about singing the songs.
That's how you know I don't know the song.
Yeah, it's true. I used to sing it to people all the time, and they found it offensive because I would switch the names out for theirs, but... It's not a very pleasant song about Cruella de Vil, but she's so over the top and manic and insane that you almost have to, you can't not look at her. She's so crazy. She's
right.
Like wire thin, uh-huh, with this black and white hair.
Oh, I love it.
And this huge oversized fur coat with the bright red lining. It's such a look.
I want to go as her as Halloween now. I want
all right.
I want all of this.
Okay.
Reminds me of my 20s. That does.
Back when you were skinning puppies in your 20s?
And I had black and white hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
I remember it well.
But the reason that we decided to even go with a patch based on 101 Dalmatians for June is because of Cruella de Vil.
Right, that and her crazy, insane driving.
And her beautiful car.
Oh, it's so awesome.
She drives like the longest burgundy...
Oh, if I could have that as part of my costume, okay. I would do it.
That car would function. But there's a fun fact about it. It was actually rotoscoped. Do you know what that is?
It's with a camera? Right? No.
So what they did is they actually built a scale model of her car.
Okay.
And then filmed it driving around.
Oh, really? On top of the background imagery and stuff.
And then they literally went through and traced the car because for artists to draw that car doing all that crazy stuff, all those straight lines and all that stuff, is very difficult. To get the car looking the same all the time.
Yeah, they do that a lot with dancers and stuff, I think, right? They, like, act out the entire scene.
Yeah, they had reference
and then
video. Yeah.
And they had to do that with the car as well.
Yeah, and it's actually, you can find pictures of it online. It's literally a black and white model. So there's not even any color on it, so it's easy to trace.
Oh, that's awesome.
With their pens and stuff. I thought it was
that
really cool. So her insane driving and just over-the-top personality made me want to do a patch for Cruella or 101 Dalmatians.
She was the inspiration for it completely.
She was.
And these are all the things I love. So
fast cars and black and white hair.
Wirely fins, crazy women with crazy... Yeah.
Perfect. Well, this is
all
is the patch for you then. So after a lot of work, I felt... for the animators that had to animate the car, because I'm not a draftsman. I'm not great at technical drawings.
Mm-hmm.
So drawing out her car was pretty difficult. Plus, I wanted to draw it out when she's gone through a bit and she's ripped the hood off her car and there's fire shooting out of the sides of her car.
Oh, that's the iconic way. I thought that's what it looks like the whole time.
It should be, honestly. Cruella, if you want a real look, just... have fire shooting out of your car at all times. So it took me a long time to get the imagery right. It looks fun. It's dynamic. This awesome, long, sleek car with the fire shooting out of it. And then what better thing to put on there than Driving School Dropout? Because you know Cruella is not going to pass any kind of driver's ed.
I know a couple hundred people in Atlanta that could use that pass. They're all Driving School Dropouts.
Mm-hmm. So it's a fun thing to wear around as a joke or in real life. Give it to your teenagers learning to drive.
Oh, that's great.
I should pass it along to my siblings who I know are bad drivers. We all have at least one, and if you don't know who it is, it's probably you.
Oh no.
Me. It's you?
No, it's not.
No, I know whose it is in your family too. But it's fun. It's one of those things that is instantly recognizable for people that are fans, and that's what makes it fun, in my opinion, right?
Yeah. And it is me.
And you are the bad driver.
Exactly right. So I need the patch.
Some days I would agree with you.
I know that's true. Oh, Atlanta's wearing off on me.
This is why I sleep when we're on long road trips, so that I can be unconscious for some of it.
Oh, that's so great. We should totally put that on the back of the car while we go down to Disney this weekend. Be great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, Driving School Dropout on our way down.
We're doing it,
yeah. So if you are a fan of 101 Dalmatians, fan of Cruella de Vil, or just a really bad driver, head over to the website to check out our patches, pick up a Driving School Dropout patch, or if you subscribe to our monthly patch club, it comes a little bit cheaper and it's already on its way to you.
Yep.
Which makes it even easier.
We can officially say it's in the mail.
It's in the mail! But it's like I always say, ugh, they're filthy little white rats, no spots at all. Ugh!
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.